Right now, you're listening to Hip Hop Digest with E Green, King Killer B, and Kurt G.
We've seen buffoonish, clownish black athletes that blow hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars on expensive jewelry because they're so insecure in who they really are that they dress themselves up like clowns, and they shovel all their money into predators that know, like, oh man, as soon as we get one of these young black dudes some money, we can get $1 million, $2 million out of them on a Mr. T starter kit.
Welcome to the Hip Hop Digest Show with your man, DJ King Killer.
Don't forget about your boy, Kurt G.
And Ezo Grigio, sipping over on something red.
Something red today.
I think I showed y'all last time, didn't I? Don't tell him. Don't tell him. Shh.
Oh, last time it was that Orange Jubilee, wasn't it?
Now they know.
Hey, I gotta ask you why.
Why that one?
So I could have a whole lot of different vices, but every now and then I get caught up in peer pressure. And I'm going to blame my cousin Vernon on air that he was saying, I'm not going to talk about his refrigerator, but he's going to talk about, yeah, you used to do these. I still do these. I was like, you know what? I haven't had one of those since my Compton days. And so I went and picked up two bottles. And you see, a month and a half later, there's one bottle and a little one bottle that's almost full left. So it's not like I'm sitting here like drinking it like it's fine wine, trust me. But I just got off the phone with them a little while ago and we were sipping again. So, and I was still getting clowned because I was only drinking a little teeny bit.
So, that shit.
There's your story.
Bad experience. I was out.
Because you was 12, nigga.
I ain't gonna lie. We was young niggas. I'm throwing him under the bus. Somebody at Jackson Pub need to go to jail, B.
Oh, we naming names.
Them niggas were serving niggas at 15, 16, B. Going in there getting a half a G.
See, and I wasn't doing none of that. I saved mine till I get old and foolish.
All right, that's what's up. So, where are we at? I wanted to start this show. I want to do some housekeeping. Because we did the last show. I did post the people who passed away.
Yes.
And I forgot to, of course, read the copy on each one of those people. Again, I apologize for that, but let me do some housekeeping. This is for the post of last show. You see the names. And we want to say rest in peace out to the legendary Bob Power.
Oh, yes, sir.
Hailing from Chicago, Illinois, Bob Power was an extraordinary engineer, and he engineered for, who can I name here? Oh, De La Soul, Tribe Called Quest, De La, D'Angelo, Erykah Badu, Common, Run DMC, The Roots, all of them, and more, many, many more. That's just off the break or whatever. He started to work at the Calliope Studios in 1984. Before that, he was just a regular television engineer in the Midwest. Said he wanted something new, so he moved to New York, got the job at the studio. His introduction to hip-hop, by his own volition, was, I never even heard of rap. Somebody went on vacation, they asked me to sit in. And it happened to be a Stetsasonic session.
Wow.
How crazy is that?
So Stetsasonic is on his first session. He was like, they go in, they record it. And after the recording is done, he asked them, not knowing anything about rap at all, how do you want it to sound? Daddy-O and them said, we explained to him what it should sound like. They said that he certainly exceeded their expectation. And then basically became the man after that. DJ Premier called him one of the illest engineers of all time. Bob Power, I could say a lot about his career, much more than what I'm saying. We're just certainly honoring him, and passed away He made a couple appearances. I think it's a De La Soul skit where he's like, oh, yeah, I'm just a random white guy. I'm happy to be here. That's, so I think it was on one of them De La Soul skit records that he actually made an appearance. So rest in peace to him, no doubt.
Five Powers would get a whole show.
Yeah, he could.
When you talk about the records that he done.
Oh, my God.
We used to be looking and seeing his name on the damn records and shit.
Yeah, he could. I mean, because really, some of the Low End Theory, he did that. He did Balloon State of Mind. He did, like, Water for Chocolate. He did De La Soul is Dead. He did Baduism. He did Run DMC's Down with the King.
Classics.
He did
All Star.
Right. He said he did Do You Want More and Things Fall Apart from the Roots.
Damn.
He did a Plantation Lullabies. What's that her name? Michelle Indiacello. He did that. So, I mean, as well as Stetsasonic. So, I mean, come on. Come on.
Jeez.
Come on.
If you don't know, now you know.
Indeed. All right. Next. Next person we want to honor is Oliver Power Grant. Shout to him. He's from Jamaica. All right. Apparently, he grew up in the Park Hill Project, Staten Island, with Wu, and I guess RZA's brother, Devon. They was boys, as the story is being told, as I copied it from, you know, his obituary. Obviously made a what they call a substantial investment in the group. Now, I don't know what that means.
We're not going to speculate.
Yeah, we're not speculating. Nah, but they say he made it a substantial. Now, for that being said, I got to think that he's figuring these guys are going to make a couple of records. Maybe we get a couple of shout outs. You know what I'm saying?
Hopefully we get our money back.
Yeah, hopefully we can, you know, sell some units to get our money back or whatever. He's probably like, how the hell did I know that I was going to change hip hop? How did I know when those records drop, it was going to be like, you know, a bomb? He probably had no fucking idea that where he was at that point in time, but he did that. Obviously, he became a certain, you know, he was in the inner circle of Wu, became a CEO in a lot of different things. At Wu Wear, he did that. He did the whole Wu branding and that business aspect of it, of owning logos, as you was like saying, get your paperwork right earlier. You know what I'm saying? He did all of that. Let's see. It says Grant and RZA joined forces with Live Nation merchandise to relaunch the clothes. I guess they're going to be selling at the tour stops or whatever that case. He is just, it's just a cultural phenomenon because, again, how, just like all the greats, and I see them getting interviewed all the time. Yo, did you know how you know Method and Wu and ODB and all that was going to blow?
Right. That's at the time when you live in shit like that, you're just hoping.
Right.
Even when people be talking with mad confidence, like, yeah, I knew this shit was going, you did not know. You didn't.
Mm. Right.
You hoped that it would go, and it did.
Mm. Indeed. So, really, and like I said, just going through this really quickly again, I apologize. I did not do that on the last show. All right. But we say rest in peace.
Well, there's some background reason to why, but it's all good.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
We were way into the twilight.
To the wee hours.
Wee hours.
And you know, when old men don't go to bed on time and shit.
Certain shit start getting skipped.
So, no doubt. And then, certainly last but not least on that list is Lord Seer. Shout to him. He's from Harlem, New York. He's a New York voice. Lord Seer is definitely one of those guys, New York voice, distinctive voice. Everybody knows him for being on Shade 45, you know. But I didn't know that he was a touring DJ for Curious the Rapper. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And he really actually got his start on the Stretch and Bobbito show.
Yeah, I knew that.
Yeah. So, you know what I'm saying? And who was the kid that was he on Hot 97? Who was the kid he was with? Do you remember, G? Lord Seer and, oh, God. Who was
I remember he was on Shade 45. I just remember that.
Yeah, I know he was on Shade 45, but I know he for a minute he was on Hot 97. It was Lord Seer and somebody else. but I can't think of their name at the moment or whatever. But I just, you know, when I think of him, I just think of that's New York, you know what I'm saying? If you, at the time when New York was New York, you certainly would hear the bombs drop on one station. But the other station, you would hear guys like Lord Sear, and it would be just as effective. So, you know, again, that's back when New York was New York. A lot of people say it's still New York, but I digress.
That's because they didn't know the old New York. They didn't know the other New York.
They didn't know the other New York. What happened is that sound and that style and that flavor moved to northern New York.
Oh, boy, ain't that the truth.
So they loaded up the truck and they moved to NYC.
So they moved to Buffalo.
Schenectady, that is.
Oh, shit.
Syracuse.
Hell yeah.
Movie stars.
Albany.
Rap stars.
So
swimming pools and a lot of jewels.
Where's your boy? Was that 38 special? It was like standing out in the 3 feet of snow, trying to figure it out. So, but rest in peace to those three gentlemen. Again, Bob Power from Chicago, Oliver Power Grant from Jamaica, and Lord Sear from Harlem, New York. We honor you and we thank you for your continuing, you know, contribution to hip hop.
Yes, sir. Salute.
Indeed. All right, let's get into the first topic on this side of the game. First topic on the Hip Hop Digest is YouTube.
Damn, what happened now?
YouTube's everything.
YouTube?
Yeah.
YouTube.
YouTube's everything.
The old YouTube.
But of course, as I do, as many of us do, just turn into zombies and scrolling.
Man, you get caught.
Yeah.
You get caught.
So I'm in zombie world. I come across a particular video by a group of gentlemen. Street TV. Shout to them. All right. And they were talking about, the name of the title was the first mention of gangs on a record. The first mention of gangs on a record.
Gangs?
Gangs.
You talking about Bloods and Crips? You just saying gangs, period?
No, it could be Bloods and Crips, but I'm just talking about an overall. See, because I'm going to draw a distinction line. There's a gangster rap. If you want to say the Ice-T, Schoolie D, those are gangster raps in the first person. Schoolie D's talking about committing crime on record, and so is Ice-T. From that first person perspective. This is not that. This is just the mention of gangs.
So that had to be some New York rappers from back in the
day.
Was
it on the message at the end of the record when the cop was messing with him? Was like, what are y'all, gang? Was that on there?
I tell you what.
Out of New York, because that was all gangs back in the early days.
Although, I tell you what, that's great that you mentioned that. I thank you for your mentioning in that. But let me get into this record. Because we covered this record on our show a long time ago for a different reason. And I'm telling you, I got this record and I never at all have ever listened to the lyric side of the record.
Oh, wow.
So when the Street TV cats is talking about this record mentioning gangs as early as this record is released, I'm like, oh my God, I have that record, but I never listened to the fucking lyrics. I always put the instrumental on for obvious reasons.
Side note before you get in. Yeah. This nigga right here, I'm going to tell you a reason for that. This nigga right here, he says it on a daily basis mostly. He's like, I can't fuck with the nigga on the rap on the song, but give me the instrumental, I'm good. He will skip a nigga's lyrics in a minute.
So that's what happened with this record from the early 80s. And with the record I'm talking about, so let's get into the record. The record I'm talking about is a record by MC Frosty and Lovin' C, Radioactive Rap.
Oh, wow. Radioactive.
Very good.
No way. Wow.
So check it out.
Wow.
So the reason why my colleagues are like wowing
right now, yes, listening, because I'm learning something.
The reason why they're wowing is because Radioactive, okay? The original Radioactive came out on Saltra Records in 1983. That consisted of Daryl Cash, Henry Royal, and Ron Royal. It was a huge electro record. Huge.
Is that the Let's Jam?
Yes.
Let's
Jam Radioactive? Yeah, yeah. Correct.
Okay, okay.
Yes, sir. So that's a huge record in 83. Mm-hmm. Okay. But what happened is a group of cats from L.A. did what they loosely call an answer record. It really wasn't an answer record. It was their own. They covered Radioactive. Okay. So my quick story is the first time I heard the record, it was a DJ by the name of, oh, shit, now it fucking escapes me, Van Andrews.
Oh, Van Andrews.
Yes, sir. So shout to Van Andrews, York, PA. What's good? He's in the Legion parking lot.
Damn, the Legion.
He has Radioactive on, the original Radio Clash version, and then he brings in this other version. And I'm like, yo, what the? As I always am around the turntables like a barfly and shit. I'm like, what the f? Because it's Radioactive, but it's just played from different instruments, a different perspective, different drum machine. I'm like, yo, this is dope. You know what I'm saying? So that's when I first hear the record. This is the 80s. So, you know, I'm hearing the record. Shout out to Van Andrews, Legion parking lot and shit. So, but in any case, so let's get into the video. The video, the guys are talking about this record now. Shout to these guys. They do what we do, what I do a lot. Get the wrong facts, wrong this, wrong that and shit. They throw up a video. They throw up a picture of the album cover, which is the wrong cover. Them niggas is talking about who was the first person to actually even introduce, because I guess they had a Young Boy on there, and he was like, oh, I thought it was Snoop. Wrong answer.
Come on.
Wow, yeah, man. Well, I mean, again, B, when you got somebody who's fucking born in 2005, what the fuck? You know what I mean? So anyway, wrong answer. But they're talking about this. You know what I'm saying? They put their headphones on to give to play the example of the record, which is muted. Because of YouTube copyrights.
Of course. Wow. You know you can't play that, so, nigga.
I'm watching the video and I'm just like, wow, what the hell? What the hell? You know, I know what they're talking about. I want to jump in the screen the and be like, hold up,
B. I know, he didn't finish it.
I want to jump in the screen and correct these niggas and shit. You know what I'm saying? But out of love, because I knew what they were trying to do. I knew what they were trying to do. So anyway, the original, I talked about the original Radio Clash on Saltra Records, 1983. All right. This particular record, MC Frosty and Love and C, Radioactive Rap, came out on a label, Rappers Rap Disco Company, okay, distributed by McCola Records in 1984. Any real LA niggas, California niggas, McCola. When it comes to McCola Records, you already should know what time it is with that. All right, so shout out to all my people out there with that. So the record comes out, and the lyrics, I literally had to come in here. I put the record on just to listen to the lyrics, and I was blown the fuck away. So I come in here, I listen to the lyrics, and this is the first line of the record. I'm reading it, but think of these guys saying it in the most LA of dialect and enunciation. All right, the first line of the record is blood, cuz gang bang, there's thugs, pimps, and dope slanging. That's the first line of the fucking record. This is 1984, gentlemen. That is the arguably first mention of gangs rap in rap, period. Specifically, again, look at what all he mentions. Again, you got to break it down. All right. Blood, obviously, cuz, you know, that's a big word out there.
Absolutely. Crips.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Crips, yes.
Yeah. Blood, cuz, gangbangers. There's thugs, pimps, dope slangers. That's the first line of the fucking record. And I'm like, oh my God. These niggas, wow. I never fucking knew that. Never.
You got their record sitting in there.
Because you didn't listen.
Oh, he probably heard it, but was like, what is this bullshit they talking about?
Well, no. And even if I did hear the lyrics, and I'm sure I put it on at some point in time, I didn't even listen to what they were saying. I'm just like, yo, I need that Radioactive so I can blend the old Radioactive with this one. All right. Verse 3 is another interesting situation where they where he says, and I'm reading this. This isn't the record. You got to go listen to the record for yourself. A bullet went by. I didn't know what it was. It was all about blood because it was all about cuz. He was shot in the brain by a violent street gang, died on the corner with his girlfriend's chain. I mean, I'm not saying it's a lyrical world beater, but it does signal the earliest, probably in hip-hop history, mention of gangs specifically on a record. Hella before Ice-T. Hella before.
Yeah. I'm researching Ice-T something.
Ice-T had records out, but he was on some electro shit back before that.
Yeah, well, this was an electro record.
He was the glove, wasn't he? Ice-T and the Glove?
Well, the Glove was his DJ,
right,
I think.
Ice-T and the Glove back then.
But this is an electro record, to be sure, you know.
Oh, well, the good old AI that you love to hate.
I do.
Says, oh, I asked, did Melly Mel mention gangs in the message in 1982?
No doubt.
And AI says, not Allen Iverson, but AI says, yes, Melly Mel implicitly refers to gang-related activities, specifically street gangs and related to violence in the song The Message. So,
okay, all right. So I'm not going to argue that fact, but I think this is specific to L.A. because that was the title of the video. The first mention of L.A. gangs, meaning
oh, L.A.
Yeah,
gangs.
This is,
gangs.
Right, this is
LA.
Specific.
Okay, that's a different.
Right, you didn't say that.
Oh, okay. If I didn't, no, I apologize
you said
for that.
Gangs.
No,
no. They had to be talking about some black spades. Oh, no, some, no, something
yeah.
was going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, my brain straight went to the message.
Back then, it had to be some early shit. From way
no,
back.
I think this was specific to L.A. This is, yeah, and if I didn't mention that, I'm sorry to mention that. I didn't mention
all
that.
All good. We're clear now.
Because, I guess I was trying to make the point with McCola Records, Rappers Rap Disco Company. This is all
oh, yeah,
L.A.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
This is,
yeah,
this is all L.A. And this is early hip-hop here, too.
80, what did you say, 84?
84. Yeah, the original Radio Clash came out in 83. This record came out the next year in 84.
I want to ask you this real quick.
Sure.
You said Radio Clash again. Is the album called Radio Clash? Because Radio Clash is Radio Clash.
So I'm mispronouncing that. It's not Radio Clash, and I do that all the time, especially with those two records.
Bro.
No, you're right. It is Royal Clash, and I
Royal
keep saying
Clash.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah,
and
Royal
I always
Clash, yeah.
So just
well,
like
I mean, you couldn't help it. You hear, you see Clash, and you think of the Clash.
No, but I'm just saying. But I did say just like those niggas in the video. I do that myself all the time. You know,
well, that's what me and Kurt are here for.
Right. So so I know what they meant in the video, even though they were making graphical errors and what they were talking. I knew what they meant. So I wanted to clean that up. And so thank you for cleaning up my mess.
Overall, they have a great point, though, because, damn, 1984, if that was the first line in the song, it'd be kind of hard. Well, let me just say this for saying it. There may have been records that we never heard.
True.
Right.
Out there.
True.
So
that's
true. We're gonna call this plausible, but not factual.
Well, I think, when I mean first, I mean, okay, yeah, you're right. There could have been records out there that mention that. And, you know, I think hip-hop history is in the records, you know, good, bad, or indifferent. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people, like, for the young boy on the show, he's like Snoop. People in the comments were like, fuck Snoop. It was DJ Quick. Other people in the comments before that was like, nah, it wasn't Quick. It was Compton's Most Wanted.
Nope.
So they're going down the litany of who they believe was mentioning specific from an L.A. perspective, the Blood Crip gang scenario.
Damn, them niggas in St. Louis want the cornerback.
Right. Oh. So when you're running down this history, as you get to that, if I was going to answer that question, I would have said, before I saw that video, I would have said Toddy T. Batteram in 85.
And that would have been a good one. Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't know what's Batteram. So that's the first thing out my head.
Niggas knocking the doors down. Motherfucking
right. And so I'm like, what's a Batteram? So that is so specific.
A difficult song to listen to, honestly.
The beat is ridiculously, the beat is stupid though. The track is very good. but yes, I'm just saying, when you, the lyrics, again, if you concentrate on the lyrics and what Batteram and the whole surrounding that whole situation. So that's just me. If somebody would have asked that question off the break, I would have been like that. So, but
and now. That would have been a good call too, but.
But back to the reason why this also intrigued me, because we had covered this same record for a different reason. History as well. A lot of history with this record. You know, this record has probably the first white person signed to a record label in a rap crew in hip hop history, period. And that's where we covered this record on the Hip Hop Digest many, many moons ago. And let me tell you about this. There's a gentleman by the name of Lee DJ Flash, better known as Flash, not to be confused with Grandmaster. He's an American. Obviously, I pulled this off the site. He was an American hip-hop artist. In 1981, DJ Flash was the first white, they called him a rapper, but he was a DJ, ever signed to a label, Rappers Rap Disco Company out of Los Angeles, California. He was originally from Taft, California. And when you go to Discogs and you look at the promotional pictures, it's like five niggas, and he's on the right or left of the picture with his, you know, jacket on or whatever. I seen a recent picture of him. He just looks like a middle-aged white guy, biker type. That's what he looks like. But he is on there saying, my name is not known in hip-hop history. He's not mad about it, but he actually was the first white guy signed to a record label in a rap crew. We covered this record a long time ago. Ooh. Again, you're going to get the same shit. Oh, the first white rappers were third base.
Eminem.
Oh, right. Well, that's true. Forget about that. Depending on how young you are. Yeah, dude, somebody will say Eminem, and then somebody will say third base, and then somebody will say Beastie Boys.
Vanilla Ice.
You know, Vanilla Ice.
Post Malone.
Right. You know what I mean? Hell, you know, I hate to say it, but, you know, some people would be like, I thought Kid Rock was a rapper. I mean, so you're going to go through all of that.
For about 2 seconds.
Yeah, for about 2 seconds. Then you're going to go through the whole House of Pain, and you're going to go through all of that. But this kid, Lee DJ Flash from Taft, California, signed to Rappers Rap Company and was the DJ for these gentlemen. 1981.
So I want to ask this question. Was he in fact a rapper or was he in fact a DJ?
As far as I can tell, I don't think because there's no cited verses from him.
Yeah, let's say he wasn't busting rhymes.
No,
he definitely wasn't busting those rhymes.
I think that labeling him as a white rapper was that, you know, when either AI or somebody's typing this shit up and they don't know anything about hip hop, everybody's a fucking rapper. You know what I'm saying?
Everybody's a rapper.
You know what I mean?
Everybody's hip hop.
I always tell that story about Right On Magazine. It had a picture of Whitney Houston and then dating, and it said bad boy rapper Bobby Brown. Piss me off.
Well, in Dopey Crew, he does rap, Killer.
He didn't write those raps, but he did rap.
But all that being said, so I take the term when they say white rapper, first white rapper signed to a label in 1981. I take that with the grain of salt because I know he was their DJ. That I know.
Yeah, that's some misinformation then.
Right, but that's where we covered the record. And so that's where I kind of was really intrigued with that particular record. Again, for those of you who want to do your own research, it takes 2 seconds. MC Frosty and Levin C, Radioactive Rap. Okay, again, on Rappers Rap Disco Company, released in 1984, distributed by McCullough Records. And again, I'm going to say it again. Blood, cuz, gangbangers. It's the first three words out of his mouth on the record.
Are we going to do a deep dive for later, or are we going to let that ride?
Nah, no need to do a deep dive. Just, you know. Okay.
I mean, it's just curious. You know, it's curious. Maybe one of the listeners know something different. That'd be interesting to hear.
Oh, indeed. I mean, again, so South to the Street TV guys who bring that up or whatever and got me the peaked interest or whatever, I'm staying by it. That's the research I've done. But again, I have the record. So
you got proof.
Somewhere T-Bear just said, what record don't you have?
But like this, when it becomes records that you be like, nigga, you got that record? He got that.
That's not.
And the crazy thing is, he could get up right now and reach over there and get it. That's the thing. It's insane to me. That's the insane part to me. This dude got a billion records and knows where all of them are.
It takes a little bit nowadays.
He's starting to lose it a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. I know where the West Coast section is, but I may have to look through the West Coast section.
You've been doing this for 20 years.
So
close to the 40.
So shout to T Bear.
Yeah.
Shout to T-Bear. I'm going to order 2 tons of fun, Just Us. I never had that record, but I absolutely love that record. So,
are you about to pay a premium for that?
No, sir.
He said no, sir.
Nah, it's not super, super rare.
Okay, because when you mention buying records like that, it's like, damn, you about to drop something on it, ain't you?
Nah, 2 tons of fun, Just Us is not expensive. So,
okay.
All right, so. All right, next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is the death of battle rap in the Jay-Z interview.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's like the death of auto-tune, death of battle rapping.
You know, so Jay, so
you sound so disappointed. Because last show, he was in here putting words in Jay's mouth, talking about Jay. Got at your man, the good doctor, good professor, and he thought that he was the total opposite of what that nigga was on. When Jay was closer to his point,
and I may have been in error.
Oh, hey, at least he admits it.
I may have made a huge mistake.
Because when I saw that, I had to send it to you, dog. I was like, "There's no way in the world this guy." I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I want to set the scene.
Oh, shit.
And see, this is what's wrong here. The scene is fucked up, first of all.
It's all fucked up now.
So you got Jay-Z getting an interview and some young fucking hipster-ass influencer.
Killer.
Jeez.
Who doesn't have the knowledge or gravitas to interview, but now I'm sure that it was set up to milk and cookie the hell out of that nigga.
Like you didn't know.
No doubt, but I was still disappointed.
You think he was going to step up to the table to a nigga that was going to ask some hard, hard questions?
B, I think that you can
ask. Those questions were pre-written.
Ain't no doubt about that. But I'm just saying, and you know, but the scene, B, you didn't think the scene was fucked up. The young guy himself and shit. He's sitting up there with his fucking hipster glasses and fucking ripped jeans and his hat to the fucking side.
He's in the balcony right now.
Oh, I am.
Oh, my goodness.
Damn right I'm in the balcony, my nigga.
Old man. Get off my lawn right now.
You know, Jay, what do you think about... Be fucked.
He wasn't even born when Reasonable Doubt came out.
He was not. Thank you, Kurt. He wasn't even born when Reasonable Doubt. B, I'm not saying again. B, Jay will never come here, but he should.
Oh, damn.
He'll never come here, but he should, because I'm gonna question him and I'm gonna grill him about the music. I'm just strictly grilling about the music, and I'm gonna grill him about this shit that he said. So let me get into the part that was the whole, to be honest with you, most of the interview was a yawner until he got to this shit right here. All right. On the topic of Kendrick and Drake, Jay-Z reflected on the overall impact of battle rap currency has had on the landscape of hip hop. And then Jay goes into the whole, It's too much negative stuff that comes with it. I wish it didn't happen, Hove explained, that people who like Kendrick hate Drake and vice versa. And he particularly blamed it on social media. And I'm not saying that social media doesn't play a particular role. And then, of course, got into his own regrets. Jay even himself said, I know I sound like an old man. He even said it himself. But he gets into his own regrets, the baby seat condom incident, that whole thing. Considering him and Nas is super cool now, he wish it didn't happen. You know, I think his role should be in the boardroom, strictly. At shareholder meetings, strictly. Strategy meetings, you know, corporate earnings calls, that's where he belongs.
So he can't talk about his own shit? I'm just asking, he can't talk about his own shit?
Hove.
His own records, his own stuff?
Hove. Who said the records, the questions were pre-written? Who said that? Okay, Swerve. Is it really an interview when the whole shit is basically kind of scripted?
It is scripted. You could tell that. It was completely scripted. But I'm saying, I'm just basing my question off the fact that you just said he'd just be strictly in the boardroom. Like, he shouldn't even talk about hip-hop anymore, period.
You know, you could say a lot of things about a lot of people. We want Andre 3000 to MC again. We want him to MC again. At this point, I don't even know if we want and or need Hove to do it.
Damn.
Because the interview to me...
444 is down on the toilet now?
No, 444 is excellent. 444 is an excellent record. And, you know, whatever got into him at that point in time in his life, yo, that's what's up. But...
Well...
I wasn't that affected by what he was saying. I guess I'm going to be on the opposite side of this one. I wasn't that affected by what he was saying because it was just his own personal truth of what was being said. So it wasn't like he was speaking for everybody. He was speaking basically from his own perspective. So that's how I took it. Like, I didn't take it like he's speaking for everybody.
This nigga sound like he's ready to testify at a fucking Drake fucking deposition hearing.
That's how you took that?
Yeah, he sound like he ready to fucking testify at a deposition with Drake's lawyers about the impact of diss records on careers and this, that, and the third. I just was like,
it didn't seem to hurt his career.
But now he's regretting. Now he's like, yeah, I've been through wars and I've been on that, but I regret it.
I would rather hear that from Nas, to be honest with you. I'd rather have heard Nas say that than Jay, because he is. And what is the opposite of humble? Because he is that. And for him to have gone through that little battle, well, I'm going to say little, but you know what I'm saying. The way he put it is just didn't sit right, because that, no matter who you are, that's what hip hop is, always has been, and always will be. Braggadocious, I'm better than you, I got better rhymes than you, and sometimes it gets to a little personal.
Okay, and then so really he kind of honed in on that and was saying that it's the real personal shit and niggas losing careers. And when he said that shit, I was like, what the fuck are you doing? You depositioning
for this nigga? Who lost a career?
Well, he just sort of in general saying that, you know, back in the day when you could run up to Hot 97 or any station you want and drop bars and then drop a diss record, there's conversation about that, about the records, okay? I just don't like it, especially a guy like Hove that doesn't point out that, yes, social media has something to do with it. But it is so important to point out the problem with this is that people idolize Drake. The cult of personality of Drake was idolized. You know what I mean? It now that where we are and shit, you know, people are questioning catalogs. people are going back. Maybe they're doing revisionist history. This is, those are for young bulls to say. I didn't like the nigga from the start, and I say that to say, not that I was a soothsayer, but I'm just like, damn, why is this motherfucker the man? When there were so many other way more talented niggas, but it was the day, it was him.
Well, my son told me, I know that y'all got, Kurt's got a son too in the same area, but my son told me that he only listened to Drake because the ladies liked him.
Okay.
That's what he told me.
And that's fair. And that is fair. But you know what I'm saying?
And Drake had the flyest bars and all that kind of stuff.
Well, you know what? That's very interesting. And your son, and I would love to hear Kobe's opinion on that as well. How did that happen? And then now, how did it happen that, okay, a battle takes place or whatever between these two gentlemen, and now you got camps that are just warm with each other, mostly because of social media and other nut niggas, you know, on the interwebs for any particular reason. I'm sorry. I think Jay missed a perfect opportunity to start educating motherfuckers. Okay. That motherfucker missed a great opportunity to start educating motherfuckers. And real talk. And I would ask that nigga, I was like, nigga, who's the fucking better MC? Who's the better MC? Let's just get down to the brass tacks. You can say what you want, and maybe that's your man up north. I'm not mad at that. Who's the better MC? Because do you hate, if you're a Nas guy, I don't think you hate Hov. You respect the hell out of him, and vice versa. You know what I mean?
But CB, now, you know what? Right now, I'm feeling a little fucked up.
Okay. You lawyering up?
Nigga.
You lawyering up?
I'm putting on the full robe.
Ooh. Oh. Damn,
and
he's going.
I'm about to be. This I'm nigga going. To, I'm going back into being Hov's lawyer.
This
right
nigga's
now.
Going Chief and I, Justice.
And that's why I'm feeling fucked up, because I haven't liked the whole time since 444 when y'all niggas was starting to fall for Hov a little bit. Like, okay, this nigga's done something. I was off that nigga from 444. I have not never said 444 was my album. I haven't said 444 was hot, because I just have not been feeling that nigga at all. Period, not feeling that nigga. So I haven't really been saying much positive about him. But when I listened to the interview and listened to what he was saying and how he was saying it, I was like, okay. And you just took the position. I'm like, damn, B, you gonna put me as the lawyer today? I don't even want to be this nigga's lawyer. I want to pile on, but I can't pile on because I actually listened to the words that was coming out of his mouth.
All right, then,
and how he was saying.
All right, then get to it, counselor.
Yeah, and so I got to do the unenviable position of being this nigga's lawyer right now, because I have not been feeling this nigga, because I've been thinking he wants some shady shit. But that's just me. But how I'm feeling right now is like, I gotta be this nigga's lawyer right now, because I just, by how I heard him, and he sounded like a counselor up there. Like, he was parsing his words and basically.
Oh, yeah, he was.
He was speaking in very slowly and clearly so he would not step on too many toes the way he was saying what he was saying. So now to hear you take the position and then get at him in the way you got at him, I'm like, damn, B, that's not what he was saying.
Bullshit.
That's not what he was saying. But let me go ahead to what I heard.
Okay, okay.
What I heard the nigga saying was basically he was still down with battling, still down with the records and stuff that came out. He was good with that. But what he was not good with is when niggas took sides to a point of fuck that nigga and everything he about. And fuck his life, fuck his kids, fuck everything about that nigga. That's the part he didn't like. That part of the game that came in, like, damn, B, if you don't like the niggas' records, okay, you don't like the niggas' records.
I object.
That nigga's whack and Kendrick is hot. Say that. Say that nigga's hot and Kendrick is sick. Say that Kendrick is hot and that nigga's whack. But don't say fuck his kids, fuck his mother, fuck his life, fuck everything about that nigga. And I hate him. And because I like Kendrick, I don't like him. They chose gang style, nigga. I'm down with Kendrick. And fuck the other niggas because I'm down with my niggas. And it's what he was basically saying. I don't like that part of the game.
Judge, I object. He's testifying. I just... I guess coming from and maybe Swerve, help me out. You're gonna have to be the middleman in here because
I'm gonna let you do your thing.
No, I just want to quickly say, Goose and Gander. You know, I mean, he sounded like to me he was testifying for Drake because that is Drake's whole thing. My whole situation is fucked up. Okay, but there was no equal time. Wife beaters.
See, that's okay. Where you're getting fucked up at.
Okay, my man.
This is where you're getting all fucked right. up. Okay. Because everything you hear is somebody saying, anything somebody says is basically saying they're supporting Drake. Anything somebody says positive about this situation is supporting Drake.
I agree.
Or anything somebody says opposite is supporting Drake.
I admit.
You immediately put somebody to supporting Drake just because you hate that nigga.
I admit.
You on the opposite side and you've been hating that nigga before everybody else got on board of hating that nigga.
I admit biased.
Overly biased.
I admit biased.
Overly biased, my nigga.
In this particular situation, but with Hov, I needed the teaching moment, and I would have appreciated clarity when it gets down to the brass tacks. Who's the better MC?
See, the problem with what you want is the fact that, like I said from the beginning, this was milk and cookies. This was
It was
pre-scripted.
It was.
The nigga knew what questions was coming before he asked them. And he answered them the way he wanted to answer them. So you was not going to get what you wanted.
Swerve.
Yes, sir. So
try to bring some clarity.
Well, I'm going to pull a Kurt G and kind of land in the middle.
Okay.
To you, Killer, I say, when has Jay-Z done anything that you would be like okay with? Like, he did that and ride with him on that. Like, when he ran the label, did you appreciate that?
He wasn't a particularly good label owner.
No. When he was rocking with Beanie Sigel and them and the whole situation, did you appreciate that?
No, he packed up his bags and bounced on everybody.
How he got down with his ex-partner who is still around.
Well, yeah, that's a whole different thing.
Was that okay? So to you, I ask, why would you expect this man to do something in the name of hip-hop at this point?
Because I think
he's going to go ahead.
I only say this to say, and I tried to explain that in the intro here, is that the whole scene was wrong. The hipster he had interviewing him, the whole set design, the whole shit is soft. It's milk and cookies. It's warm blankets. They tuck that nigga in there like the Three Bears.
Yes.
This is ridiculous. So, yes, Kurt G., you're right. There's bias on my point. And number two, I'm expecting something. You know what I'm saying? I'm expecting Goldilocks to run up in there and house niggas, but that's not happening. Never going to happen.
If he's on the Hip Hop Digest show, he gets asked hip hop questions.
Correct.
Right. We're not even going to be questioning anything else.
No.
Yeah. All that Busby shit planes, he was talking about, all that other shit wouldn't even be coming up.
Right. All that Busby shit. Right. All that. Right. I don't care about that, B. You know what I mean?
Okay. So now over to Curtis.
Okay.
Sir, you threw on the robe. You jumped back in that pool. But all you've done was incriminate yourself because you cannot support this guy because of everything you just said. This was not a real interview. It was clickbait. It was everything you said, scripted, all of that. Nobody is going to get a chance to have a real question with Jay-Z. And if you do, the interview's over as soon as you ask the question.
What?
So you can't support that. It's, to me, when I saw it, I was like, oh, this don't even matter. This don't even matter. And especially when he's talking about how you shouldn't do. We live in a different world than when Ether was happening compared to now. The internet was not.
No doubt.
A tool.
Okay? No doubt.
And on this tool that we have, everybody gets on there and spouts off this, that, and the other. But somebody could be totally disrespecting Drake and his family and whatever. But as soon as he get done typing on his phone or whatever, he's turning on a Drake record. So you can't give that any of this stuff any weight. The only piece that bothered me a little bit about it was, again, he was in a world-class battle, and you lost. And no, maybe people didn't say, well, I hate Hov's mom, and this, no, maybe they didn't. But this is now, and you can't equate back then to what is happening now, because it's internet. Everybody has a voice, whether it's good or bad. Everybody has a voice. What comes down to, yes, who is the better MC? And I don't think there's a question there.
No.
But that's not what this interview was for.
It was just for him to get out what he had on his chest and say it without anybody bucking back at him, saying anything back to him. But my only reason I raised my hand earlier is because the reason why I wasn't supporting him so much as I was supporting the words coming out of his mouth. I was supporting what he said, how he said it, versus somebody coming at him. I support everything that you just said was right about what my support for him, but I wasn't supporting him. I'm supporting the words coming out of his mouth and how
as
he
a jurist,
said it.
You're losing, brother. Stop right there.
That's all I'm saying. I'm supporting the words coming out of how he said it and what he said. That's what I was going to support for that, because he did not say what Killer was wanting him to say. He was mad. Like, this nigga should have been out here educating niggas about battle rap and what battle rap is about, nigga, and stop all that bullshit y'all talking about.
And that's where I said I think I made a mistake, you know, with that Michael Eric Dyson situation, because it was made to seem like Hov got on the phone and was educating that nigga. I don't believe that that happened.
That didn't happen. That didn't happen.
I now believe that that didn't happen. Back then, I thought, oh, maybe, damn, it's Hov calling up this nigga, trying to be down and shit and giving him the facts. I'm going to tell you what hip-hop is all about. But apparently, I don't think that happened.
It would have been interesting to have an interview with Dr. or him. They should have had an interview. Not this. No disrespect. I'm not going to pull a King Killer. No disrespect to that kid. Whoever he was, good for him. Good for him. You got to interview Jay-Z. But should have been on there with Michael Eric Dyson or somebody of a different... somebody who knows hip-hop.
Right.
Like, knows hip-hop.
Right. And that somebody's going to get to the fundamental hip-hop questions. It's the biggest... We can sit up here and blame this generation for a lot of things, but when you have a stalwart guy, or at least the appearance of a stalwart guy, hush puppying it out there, soft shoeing it. Oh, did you think it's just a terrible thing that we're doing?
This is Jay-Z. But that kid was starstruck sitting there.
He was. But see, here's the thing. When I said I'm supporting the words coming out, see, you only listened. Only thing you heard was the part about him and the battle rap part and him sounding like he was 1,000% supporting Drake. When he was not, it's not according to the words coming out of his mouth. Because before all of that shit, how they said it about the Super Bowl, and they was like, everybody thought he was 100% down with Kendrick.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, no, I was 100% down with the hottest nigga that was out, basically.
Yeah.
He had the...
Well...
I was 100% down with the hottest. That's what I was down with. He had the numbers to prove that Drake he should be in the Super Bowl.
Drake ain't been on no Super Bowl.
Exactly.
Mm.
So to get out of this topic, what I'll do is what I've always been doing. I think that for this generation, with the confluence of, like you said, everybody having a voice and it's social media and that type of thing, it certainly, but I still believe, and I could be wrong, I still believe that you have a generation who was like, damn, did we really idolize, not the wrong guy, but this guy, and what was the reasons we did so?
I don't even think it's that deep.
I think it is that deep.
I don't think it's that deep. I think the thing is, the people that like Drake from that age group, what you're not taking into account, there's a whole generation after these niggas that like Drake. There's a whole generation after that. That Drake generation is in their 30s. Damn near 40. That Drake's
pushing
Drake
40.
Generation. Pushing 40. That's that Drake generation. We're talking about these 20s and unders that... looking at Drake, and those are the niggas that's coming out like, fuck Drake. I don't like Drake. I hate Drake. That's that generation niggas. That 25 and under niggas is like, I ain't fucking with Drake. Them the niggas that turned on that nigga.
I respectfully disagree. I think there's the
but
part
what
of...
what does it matter is the question I just want to know. What does it matter?
According to him, when the words that were coming out of his mouth, that what matters is the fact that it... The temperature in hip hop, or the temperature in music, should I say, not hip hop, the temperature in music completely shifted, because now niggas is acting like they can't even listen to no music from Drake anymore. Like, Drake is completely whack. That's the way they're acting. Now, the nigga's still getting crazy streams now. If those are bots or if they're being fucking manipulated, that's another whole nother story. But he's still getting crazy streams no matter what he does. Even that bullshit he was putting out in the last year is still getting crazy numbers.
So, I'm going to try to get out of this topic. And I guess for me, as a history, you know, important as we do, and we always lean to the history, somewhere, fucking Ja Rule's got to be saying, this motherfucker sitting up here talking that shit, career's been getting destroyed. Career's been getting curbed for a lot of different reasons, for whatever the case. And he wouldn't say that about himself, but nigga, I'm sorry.
But he mentioned it in passing. He said these niggas had something personal going on and they haven't liked each other in a long time. Well, he said that out of his mouth.
Okay.
They haven't liked each other in a long time, so whatever's going on between them is between them. But what he was saying is he doesn't like the fact that because of these two gentlemen and their dislike for each other, it is spilled out of the music and they have the same type of feelings. Like, I don't like that nigga because Kendrick don't like that nigga. So I hate that nigga.
The problem is the cult of personality. Half of these motherfuckers is running around here fucking, maybe they're, like you said, of the 30s and they're of the Drake generation. They don't even fucking know why they like Drake like that. That's the fucking problem. And that's where the simple answer is who's the better MC gives you clarity.
If you were you're talking hip hop, nigga. That's where you're fucked up at, and that's where we've always been fucked up.
Shit.
You're talking hip hop, where MCing matters.
Okay, that's real.
On this landscape that we're talking about an MC and Kendrick who has MC skills, but he lives in a pop world. And that's the fucking facts.
That's true.
Kendrick is an MC that lives in a pop world.
And no one's denying that.
So when he came up against a pop hero and he popped that nigga's balloon, and niggas is like, oh my gosh, what the fuck? Drake's fizzling now. We thought he was good. We thought he was the best. But he wasn't, because actually an MC showed you that this nigga's really not that good as you thought he was, and now niggas is questioning why the fuck do they like this nigga. Some of the niggas are. And then there's a younger generation that's like, well, fuck that nigga, because he's not what my cousin or my older sister or my uncle thought he was. So fuck that nigga, period. And this generation, as you said, the 30s and the 30s, 35, the 40, them niggas is fucked up in the game. Because they don't know, they want to switch over and like Kendrick, but they've been on fucking Drake's train for too damn long.
I
completely
kick
him to the curb.
So to get out of this topic, the late, great Frank White once said, lyrically, I'm supposed to represent.
And that's hip-hop. Niggas ain't talking about lyrically representing in a long time.
That's for damn sure.
Not on no commercial level.
Not commercially.
Right. All right. So, we had to get out because...
Yeah, let's
All
go with
it.
Pass on that.
All right. Next topic.
We didn't get nowhere.
Right. We are not getting nowhere. That's
zero.
True. And I think that we have to kind of maybe recognize going down that rabbit hole. I know I don't sometimes. All right. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is Isosceles Triangle.
Damn.
Oh, my goodness.
Where the fuck did that come from?
That's a weird one.
Yeah, let me read this. Yeah, this topic. An isosceles triangle is a polygon with at least two sides of equal length, known as the legs, and two angles opposite those sides, known as base angles. Okay? And the reason why I bring that isosceles triangle up, because you got an isosceles triangle in Cam Newton, Jason Whitlock, and Stephen A. Smith.
What the
goodness.
Yes.
Nigga, I ain't see that shit coming.
Well, I'm going to tell you. Cam Newton.
Damn.
Cam Newton is interviewing Jason Whitlock.
Oh, wow.
What?
Cam Newton.
Wow.
Is interviewing Jason Whitlock and ask him. We sitting up here. We sitting up here and did all this talk about Hove. But ask him directly. And said on the show, we're going to be 1,000. Why don't you like Stephen A. Smith?
And that nigga was happy to answer that question.
And he was happy to answer the question and gave facts talking about I got this nigga's whole skirt pulled up. His college basketball career was a lie. His scholarship was a lie. You know, all his background, you know, was a lie. Now, Jason Whitlock has his full skirt pulled up, yes. But Jason Whitlock is also pissed that Stephen A. Smith took his position as the nigga that white people turn to when they want to have a nigga get on niggas. You know, Whitlock was the standard bearer for that. You know, what do you think about Barack? Well, I think he's too much DEI or something stupid going to come out of his mouth. Or what do you think about Deion Sanders on record to be jealous as hell of Deion and his athletic gifts or whatever, or even his lifestyle, whatever the case. We know who Whitlock is.
We do.
Stephen A. Smith took his position and he's pissed about it. Cam Newton is either a distraction or a double agent. Meaning, because as crazy as that motherfucker look on TV with his fashion and maybe even some of his takes, goodness, could be aiming to get both of those OGs out of the way.
Yo, killer, let me just warn you. Cam Newton in real life is a big motherfucker, yo.
He is. He is.
You might want to leave him alone.
So you just let him do whatever.
Yeah, let that man live. Let him wear what he wants to wear, B. But you're right. He may be gunning for that spot, but at the same time, as you say, double agent, like, hasn't that story been run through enough about the hate situation with both of them gentlemen?
Yeah, I mean, there is a war of words and a constant back and forth about those two gentlemen trying to occupy one space.
Yeah.
There's not room for there's only room for one nigga, you know, who's going to play that, you know, I don't fuck with Jasmine Crockett, you know, the way she speaks and all that dumb shit. There's only one space for that.
That's my girl too.
Oh, I love Jasmine. But I'm just saying. But a guy like Whitlock, or even a guy like Stephen A. Smith, they gonna have something negative to say about sis.
And they could, and they can. It's their right to have something negative to say about her.
Yeah, are they saying something negative about her because, or is it that I gotta run this play? My bosses and who I'm getting paid expect me to criticize African Americans.
Now, see, I don't have a problem with them criticizing. It's just when you just pull a name out your hat. You know what I'm saying? If you're just sitting up here having a regular conversation and somebody and a subject comes up and you're talking about it, that's cool.
Them niggas.
But when you're talking about something totally opposite and then you drag a nigga's name in that ain't got shit to do with this, that's when I got a problem with it. Like, why the fuck are we talking about him?
So is a video.
Just because you don't like the motherfucker.
So is a video, and they pulled out from both Whitlock and Stephen A. Smith at least 3 or 4 times where they were naming prominent African-Americans for criticism. But when white names were brung up, specifically white men, there was crickets for criticism. Or very
I'm
tepid.
I'm shocked by that because as far as Stephen A., I have known him to say wild shit about anybody. The other guy... Bitchlock. I can imagine him being mum on any of that.
Right, no doubt.
That's where the checks is coming from.
Yeah, I will say that because I've seen Stephen A. get at them other folks too. So I don't know about that part.
So, and what made me bring this topic up because it really did seem like that Cam.
He's a double agent.
Yeah, it really did seem like Cam. Now look, Cam, you know, Cam has said some wild shit himself.
He does some wild shit on a regular basis.
You know, I know the sisters out there just not really fucking with Cam. This nigga was like saying, well, I mean, Cam
can show up at the club.
You're saying a different brand with big hats on at the club.
So let me clear this up. Yes, when I mean the sisters ain't fucking with Cam, they not fucking with the public persona, but you're right. If he show up at the spot, you know, that's what's up. You know what I mean? You got 90% of the women going to funnel into that 10%.
Green light.
Yeah,
flashing.
Exactly. No doubt.
When the sparklers is coming by in the bottle of liquor.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. So, Killer, let's take it back again real quick.
Okay.
But take it back again. Just keep in mind, we live in the internet age.
We do.
And Cam Newton has his show. Yep. Does he still come on ESPN? Because I haven't even watched TV in weeks. So I don't even know if he's on there.
That's a good question, because I'm like you. I don't watch TV. This is all YouTube shit.
Got you. So the point of the matter is, for him to get those clicks and views and likes, you have to say or do some shit. But it's, in my opinion, this is just the wrong pile of shit to step in. I mean, we should just let them to just let them go.
I guess for me, to your point about Stephen A. Smith, the reason why he took, in my opinion, the reason why he kind of took Whitlock's shine and his spot is because I think they needed cover a little bit, because he may be a little bit more balanced. You're right. Whitlock is going to.
He's way over there.
Yeah. You know, and Stephen A. But as time goes on, Stephen A., I think, is going to come to more on the Whitlock end of things. And I believe, that's why I pick Cam Newton, because Cam asked Whitlock direct and was like, I don't want to hear no, but why don't you like him directly? But you don't get that type of hard body shit out here these days.
When you're looking for clicks and views, you do.
Okay.
And that's what he was looking for.
All right.
He's asked that question because he knew that was going to go viral. Just by asking that question.
And he probably was hoping Stephen A. would say something.
Well, I think Stephen A. has responded. I didn't run down that rabbit hole, because you know how that shit will do. I'm sure Stephen A. did respond to that shit. But Whitlock, what he was doing, he went in on your boy. He went in on son. You know what I mean?
Every opportunity he gets, it's either going to be about fucking him,
or
it's going to be about Deion Sanders, or Shador.
Shador too.
Where he lives, talking about them.
But see, I know that. Because that is the opposite. Because talking about them type of people, them niggas over there, it gets the opposite side of the people that are tired of the blowhard Stephen A. Smith types. Sick of this Deion Sanders, can't wait till he gets fired in Colorado. Sick of his son, who no talent son, who ain't even can't even bring a team and get him 2 or 3 wins in a season.
Well, I don't think that's true of his son, but I know that's his opinion.
That's Whitlock talk.
Yeah, that's true.
And I'm saying that's the side of people that he's talking to that don't like that. That's how they feel about it.
No doubt. Yes, sir. Yep.
Even hip hop. Jason Whitlock hates hip hop.
He does. Oh yeah, he does. Oh, man,
I got so many fucking shits from that nigga. Yo, I could run about 3 or 4 weeks in a row.
Yeah,
this nigga.
He don't fuck with hip hop at all. So
he probably doesn't love like himself. B, just be honest
but
with
that's,
you.
That's
from my non medical, no kind
of. All right, so himself. to get out of this topic, I think what we need to watch for, as far as Stephen A. Smith, does he move to the right more as his career continues to Whitlock style, and what does Cam do seemingly setting up as the young lion?
And before you get out of it, I just want to ask you, I was trying to be quiet because I'm not a fucking Republican and I'm not a Democrat. I'm just asking, are we not allowed to address things? Are black candidates beyond reproach? They can't be spoken about on nothing at all? Because can they not? I'm just asking.
My answer to that question is yes. You can.
They're beyond reproach?
Hell no. Okay. Nigga, everybody can get it. Anybody. My point is, I don't like when, like I said earlier, I don't like when niggas talk about people when they ain't got nothing to do with what they talking about. Like if me and you talking about the sun, And the nigga starts talking about the moon out of nowhere. We're like, nigga, we talking about daytime. Nigga, we talking about the sun. Why the fuck are we starting to talk? Because you hate the moon? Now you want to talk about the moon? You just want to bring it in here because you hate that moon.
Well, I'm going to use what you guys I'm going to use the example that you just used. Politics, what the fuck? You know, politics is politics. You know what I'm saying? And when you're the politics of a black candidate has something to say about farmer issues or whatever, I mean, motherfucker farmers might be like, you know, she don't know what the fuck she talking about, you know what I'm saying? Grain prices or whatever, who knows? You know what I'm saying? Politics is always a razor's edge. It's always a knife edge on the percentages. So, you know, I'm just giving an example. I love Jasmine Crockett, but this Tellerico, he just gets the percentages because of his skin tone. Let's not act like...
Nobody's denying that.
He's in Texas. They're not in Detroit.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, right. Let's not act like... And that is so much through African-American life. It ain't even funny. You know what I'm saying? I just remember when the Beastie Boys blew so heavy and they sold 5 million and motherfuckers is like, how the fuck can Run DMC and Houdini only do a mil, 2 mil?
I just want to say, we just did exactly what Kurt said. We was talking about the sun, now we talk about the moon.
Yeah, no doubt, but I'm just saying, I'm just bringing that as an example, but you're right, no doubt.
I'm not going to sit here and say anything disparaging about Ms. Crockett. Not going to do it. But there are certain things that not everybody was cool with.
Oh no, she's
and that's okay.
And I understand why they're not cool with it. I fully understand why you're not. Why some of the shit that she does, niggas is turned off.
Yeah, okay, right. But what that affects is the critical percentages in elections. She can be who she want to be in her whole person. You know what I mean? But that's elections. That's the critical percentages that's going to have her losing to James Tellerico. So,
well, candidates have to do what candidates have to do.
Right. The problem with Jasmine is like, so she's in Texas, first of all. And the other problem is she needs all the black votes. Tellerico only needs some of the black vote.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway, that's for another time, another political digest.
Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is the MPC sample is released and sold out.
Damn.
That quick. That little shit that Jazzy Jeff had? That little thing that he was...
No. I don't know what Jeff... I didn't see a picture with Jeff having an MPC sample.
I'll send that to you, too.
So the MPC sample is basically a miniature battery-operated workstation. You can obviously sample in it, and you can obviously make beats on it or whatever. It is, for gear prices, it's absolutely a steal. It is $399. I've seen it as low as $379 on some sites, but it doesn't matter because it's all sold out. Sold out the first day. All right. So, what I like about the MPC samples is it basically gets down to the basics. You really just needed something that you wanted to sample into. And I know, yes, there it is. That's correct. Okay. Yes, sir. I didn't see that, but yes, that is the...
You will now.
Yes. the MPC sample, it basically gets down to the basics. You can sample in it, and you can do beat structure. Now, a lot of people, of course, fucking gearheads ain't never satisfied. Oh, I wish they would have set it up where you can set this up, or I don't know the effects on that, this, that, and the third are not as robust as I would like. And they're never satisfied, but to just the basic, if you just need a quick joint that you can click on without a whole bunch of fuss and just make a beat, that's it. That's it. I think MPC. Now, Roland and they say Teenage Engineering have similar products. That Teenage Engineering shit looked too fucking complicated because it just looks like a calculator and whatnot. So
scientific calculator.
Yeah, it looks like a calculator. The MPC has the pads and it has the screen, so you can
see. It looks like a baby MPC. It looks like a baby.
That's exactly what it is. That's basically what it is, a battery-operated baby MPC. And
what type of battery is it? D, motherfucker.
D.
So shout to Akai. I just wanted to drop that in there. Shout to them because I think sometimes these companies think too damn much. You know what I mean? And, you know, when you want to just get down to the basics, you know, without going through a bunch of shit, this is that product. So shout to them.
Jeff's price just went up.
Yep.
That sure shit did. Sold out like that. Jeff's price just went up.
Well, I mean, I'm sure. Look, they sent it to every fucking influencer. Every gear nut had one on the same day. So it was a million videos up of everybody. I'm going to go through. I'm going to make a beat on a new NPC sample, you know. And then, of
course. You're not throwing Jazzy Jeff in there, are you? Because he damn sure did that.
No. But that's what they do.
But that's what they do.
They all do that.
But I think Akai's point was we're going to get it to all the influencers, and they're on day one going to rock a beat.
Yeah.
There's not a learning curve here.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You know the basics of the NPC, you're in.
You're in. Yeah. Right. And even if you don't know the basics, I guess apparently it's set up so easy, you know, shit, a caveman could do it.
Oh, damn.
We ain't getting no checks from them niggas. Apparently the caveman ain't either. That nigga, I ain't seen him in a minute on the commercial.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit.
All right, no doubt. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is we did have some homework, but we gave it the smell test.
Yes, we did. We're going to do an album review.
Well, I guess. Bobby Digital presents the Juice Crew. That's Bobby Digital. RZA from Wu-Tang presents the Juice Crew with various Juice Crew luminaries. I think just about everybody was on there.
Yeah, the whole entire Juice Crew was on there.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Rest in peace to Biz Markie. That being said.
Was Coogee on there?
Coogee Rap is on there.
Coogee Rap was on there.
Yeah, Coogee Rap is on there.
We definitely listened and heard him.
Okay. You know, doubt. Okay. Rest in peace to Granddaddy IU, who makes a posthumous appearance on there. So, I didn't think it was bad as maybe I was presented it to be, but there is rich guys. I don't think rich guys make good rap records. And RZA is super rich. And it just sounds...
You know what it is?
Generic.
You know what it is? I don't even think it's rich got anything to do with the making good records. Because we loved that Clips record with Pharrell.
Yeah, we did.
Pharrell is rich.
Yeah, that's true.
Rich.
That's true, yeah.
That nigga's got way more money than RZA.
That's true.
So I don't think it's rich. I think it's a matter of being dedicated and... knowing your lane. Right now, RZA is out here doing classically trained shit. He's out here talking about putting out a fucking piano album. I'm like, Lord.
Here we go.
I'm like, yo.
Yeah, boy.
See, what happens when you get classically trained is your ears, you switch. Because your ears don't hear things the same anymore once you get to that level.
Boy, I tell you what, that's a great, great example because Pharrell kicked the living daylights out of that record on production. My God.
It sounded excellent, B.
But that being said, that's the best way I could describe it, is kind of generic.
You know what it was for me when I listened to it beat for beat? It was not that it was generic. It's that I think he was trying to go for a certain sound. He was trying to...
He was trying to get that Marley.
He was trying to get that Marley feel when he should have just stayed RZA and did Wu-Tang-type beats and let them just rap over them Wu-Tang-type beats rather than trying to get a whole Marley Marl influence. Because if that's the case, Marley can still make beats. He's still nice with it. So get Marley to go ahead and do something if that's the case.
Shit, nigga, I seen Marley... Nigga, I think he lives in Amsterdam. He's like, fuck rap.
He can't make. We can make records and email them motherfuckers now. Put them in a fucking cloud somewhere. You can definitely still do it.
So I can say this now because I've been holding it for. The album came out like maybe 2 months ago or something like that, and I knew when I listened to it, you guys were gonna say kind of what you said right now. Now. I am not going to sit up here like, oh, it was great. I loved it. No, I didn't love it. It was nice to hear those MCs on those records. Even Shan, it was nice to hear them on those records. But I'm going to use Killer's word, kind of pedestrian or just, I'm not going to say mailed in, but it just didn't have the effect that I had hoped for when I saw that album was being made. You know what I'm saying? It just didn't, it was not hollow, but it just didn't, I didn't get full when I sat, after I got up from the plate, I wasn't full. You know what I'm saying?
Out here eating them air puffs.
Yeah.
But you know what? As you just said what you said, it gave me a thought. It gave me a thought, and I'm going to go ahead and get it out of here before it disappears. What happened, B, and it happened to all of us, because we're at a different generation and we are at an older rate. So we know the Juice Crew, Juice Crew. We know these. We knew hip hop before the Juice Crew. So yeah. We knew when the Juice Crew dropped, we knew what that shit was. And at the time of what the Juice Crew and how it felt to us. And what it is we ourselves are automatically going to be empty because we're nostalgic. We're going for a feel of what it used to. When you say Juice Crew, nigga, we expecting that feel. We're expecting Kane raw coming style. Kane don't sound like that no more. Roxanne Shante don't sound like that no more. Coochie Rap don't sound, because they done lived whole lives. They done been through ups and downs. They done, so they done, that, they minds ain't even nowhere near where they was when they made that record. So to even expect that record to come out from them, the way they, to me, I think that's for us on our point, we're expecting too much. We should probably accept,
there you go.
We should probably
there
you accept go. It for what it is. Yeah. Instead of trying to put our own spin on it and thinking, oh, damn, Juice Crew, now let me listen to it. Instead of just putting a record on, if you hadn't known who the fuck these people was and they just put it on, now listen. Far as from a hip-hop point. Not from a, we know what RZA was. We know what Kane and them used to be when they was hot. Master Ace still sounds good to me.
The track he was on was horrible.
Horrible, though. That... I don't know who was singing, but I was like, please.
That was the worst track up there. And I was mad because Master Ace was on it.
Master Ace still sounds good because Master Ace, to me, still hasn't stepped away. He hasn't stepped away. Craig G still sounds good because he hasn't really stepped away. Craig G, you'll still see him pop up from time to time on shit that's current. So these niggas haven't stepped away from the game or haven't went through situations in their life, I guess, to take them away from hip-hop. And now they're coming back. Whereas Coochie Rap sounds a little different, even though he has been on some more current shit. 38 Special type niggas like that. He has been on more current shit, but he doesn't have that same feel or that same rapping style that he used to have, that we used to love. So I think we expect too much from these niggas when they put shit out, because we hear Juice Crew and automatically we thinking, what the hell, this 88, my nigga? No, it's not.
No, not that album. But let me ask you this. Would you listen to it again?
I would not listen to it again, B. Because I would have to, maybe if I give it like maybe 6-7 months off, I maybe could revisit it, because I have to, now that I got a thought in my head that you just gave me, I need to remove myself and what I used to think and how I feel about when I hear a name, how they, like, damn, it's a Kane record? Damn. It's not 88. 89 Kane. It's not going to be that. Okay. It's never going to be that anymore.
So I think in that aspect of it, I don't think you can listen to it again. I thought track 3 was really interesting. I did like track 3, but you can't listen to it again because you won't ever have an opportunity to listen to it again.
Well, not for the first time, no.
Well, not even off the first time. Okay, we gave it the 30-second smell test. We did what we did. But tomorrow, subsequently, you know, whatever, if you're on the text chain, 15 albums are going to get dropped.
Oh, yeah.
And then so now you're going to. So, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, so. Unless you save it and put it on your phone or something.
Unless it is of the ilk. And it isn't. And it's funny. And I appreciate what you said. But, and maybe it does have something to do with stepping away and then being, and then returning or whatever, and you don't have that same fire or sharpness or whatever. But to me, the heralded albums from commercial people that we know, the LLs, the Clips, the De La's, even the Mobb Deep, those records sound awesome and can get value replay. There's a difference, you know.
There's a difference because, to me, the difference is when people take their time and craft something, as opposed to, like you said, it just seemed like it. I don't know if they mailed it in, like you said, Irv. They just heard the beat, put some lyrics on it and gave it back to RZA, like, oh, okay, here you go. And RZA did whatever he had to do to it. Instead of saying, okay, I'm working on a project, guys. I got a track for you. I want y'all guys to hook this up and do this this way. We need to give these niggas a blueprint of how they need to do this record, as opposed to just giving them a beat and everybody just raps on it and do whatever they do. The only thing that sounded coherent to me was the one where they was setting up the Shantae record, where they was telling Shantae's story.
That was dope.
That was a dope record because that was them actually telling, you know what I'm saying, Destiny going through the record, and you could see this was set up, this is a story. Mm-hmm. Whether that's just each nigga rhyming their bars and keeping it moving.
So, all right.
I don't know. I'm gonna give him at least some credit though, because it did not have to be made.
It was to me, it was a RZA project all the way, and on the strength of RZA's name and who he was, they did it. Because if you're gonna get Coogee Rap to drag him out, and Shan, who really don't even fuck with these niggas no more,
right?
So you get them out there, it was the strength of RZA wanting to put it out, and them niggas like, okay, I'll give it to you, RZA. All right, I'll do that.
But we can safe to say it won't be on our...
No. Not at the end of the year. No. So that being said, what's the grade?
Ooh. Damn.
Now we're going to go ahead and stick the knife to him, huh?
I'm just being 100, yo. The record overall wasn't good. I don't know what grade you're going to give it, but overall, the record was...
Oh, no, nigga, we're not doing that.
No, we're not doing... You got to give it a grade. We're not doing that. You got to give it a grade, B.
I mean, you jumped out there first. I was going to, but since you're out there...
D plus.
Oh, wow! D plus. Okay, Kurt, now D you plus. Might as well go ahead now.
I'm shit. I guess they're going to get an upgrade from me then. I was going to give them a C plus. So I'm giving them a C plus grade, and they get the plus... Because, like you said, they didn't have to do it. They could have let it slide. And the fact that you're getting them out there together on a record, maybe it could rekindle some shit. And maybe they could get Molly to do some beats. And maybe they could actually come out and do something.
And I blanketly was going to give it a C. And I asked a specific question about, would you listen again? I probably will. But I can't say, oh, tomorrow I'm going to listen to that. I'm saying? So... To me, it's an average record. And the average records get lost in the mix sometimes.
All the time.
So it's not a failure. I don't see it as a failure, but I just don't see it as something that was enough to have the meters up. I'm like, yo, that's got to be in the whip. I got to play that on the JBL. I got to do this, that, and the other. You know what I'm saying? I just didn't feel that about it. It was a little bit nostalgic to hear them, but it wasn't. After the album was done, I was like, wow, okay.
So, all right, that's what's
damn,
up.
Damn, killer with the D minus.
He said plus. D plus.
Oh, D plus? I'm sorry. I tried to take the little point.
I said C plus, and what you giving it, sir?
Just a regular C.
The regular C.
Up average. Yeah.
So they actually passed. They got a C.
Yeah, they got through.
A C grade. They got through the class. They made it.
All right, that's what's up.
Well, these days... A C is a fucking B. Yeah, I know y'all ain't got kids in school and shit no more, but it's insane what you can get away with great number grades and not fail. I think it's in the 50s now, or almost the 40s where you got to fail. It's crazy, right?
Wow. Hey.
Remember 65 was failing?
Hell yeah, nigga. You got to take that class again, nigga.
Yeah, not no more.
All right, anyway. That's what's up, yo. So, are we ready for the Digital Freaks albums of the week?
Oh, almost. Oh, okay. I got a special shout out to one of our longest, most supportive listeners.
Okay.
And friend and family member of the Hip Hop Digest show, and that is Peter Oasis.
Woo-hoo. Oh, yo, yeah. Shout out.
Yo,
shout
yeah. Out. I am supremely disappointed that I couldn't get to New York this weekend. Supremely disappointed. He's having a 50th birthday celebration.
Oh, wow.
It's going to be crazy.
Wow.
And he did hit me, but I couldn't do it.
He has been around the Digest for absolutely ever.
Forever.
And definitely, I appreciate you, brother. Happy birthday or belated birthday or a... You hitting that 5-0.
As of recording night, it's tomorrow.
Oh, as of recording night's tomorrow?
So happy belated birthday, all right,
so,
sir.
So you hitting that 5-0.
Yes, right. 5-0 double up, nigga.
No Boy. Doubt.
Shout out to our mans and them.
Indeed. Shout no out. Doubt. So now I think we're ready for the Digital Freaks albums of the week.
All right.
This Peter, week. Matt, what's up?
Oh, boy. Wait till you hear this list.
Uh-oh.
All right. This week, brought to you by Matt, is a Bori Rock Supreme Zinger. That's Bori Rock Supreme Zinger. Brought to you by Pete. Beep.
Uh-oh.
Pete said he hadn't heard anything worth putting up right now.
What?
It's been a while. And he Ooh. Said hopefully he gets out of this funk soon. Man. And he finds something to be able to send so he could post it. But right now he Pete, hasn't heard anything.
Let me give you it's time to get back to drum beats.
Yes, please.
It's time to get back to drum beats, Pete.
He says he don't like that drum shit. He yes, likes please. Drumless production.
All right, well.
Well, if he likes hip hop, he likes drums because you was listening to that shit before this no drum shit came around.
So that's what's up. Yeah. All right.
Damn.
All right. Wow. All right. It's a blank for Pete this
that's
week.
That's crazy.
And what do you got?
I got nothing. If you haven't noticed, I haven't had anything all year. I let these brothers take it. I let them have it. I said, okay, you know what? I'm gonna let them have that. I'm gonna get out the whip and let them have it. It's called Digital Freaks Albums of the Week. I'm gonna let them have it. I stepped out the whip. I should have got back in the whip if I knew that Pete wasn't gonna have nothing.
All right.
Man, Matt rolling solo.
Matt definitely rolling solo.
You see me?
Matt
rolling.
Got one for next week already. He got one for the next, not next week, but the next show. Matt already got one. He's ready.
Yo, right. what's y'all man's name? Who y'all said his name earlier in the show. Who writes all those coke rhymes? What's his name?
Are you talking about?
God damn it!
Who? Would you?
The
from Rochester?
Yeah. Damn. I don't listen to him that much, so I can't remember his fucking name even right now.
38 Special.
38 Special. He ain't make no music recently. Because God damn. Because all he got to do is put out a fucking teaser, and I'm sure Peter Johansson is going to put him on some list. And
Rock,
shout out to Diff,
too. Rock Marcy got to put something out.
Yeah, Diff. You can send me whatever, bruh. Diff doesn't think I want to listen to none of that street shit. I will listen to it. I just don't go seeking that shit because you're 40-something years old.
All right.
And I'm not going to get off of that mountain.
So
Diff, shout out to since you bring it up, Diff. Shout out to Diff. Thank you, sir, for sending those mixes. I appreciate you.
Diff has a nice quality mixtapes out
Indeed.
There.
Indeed.
Before we go.
Belated birthday to Big Rush. Belated birthday. Man, we got to get it all in, B. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
Happy belated birthday to Big Rush.
Our brother.
He done turned. A little bit more older, another the next zero up from
okay.
Peter Oasis. Right. He in our range.
Oh, okay.
He definitely old school nigga. All
right.
He need to go ahead and release some of that immunity. I done told him. I told him.
He definitely
y'all.
Got some heat over there.
Yeah, B. You be sending some samples through. I already said there's that high quality Rush. There's some things you got out there that I need 320 or better, son. So no doubt. So
yes, sir. That's it.
So Swervin, this is something that I'm gonna send you, and I waited a couple of weeks before I'm gonna send it. I got the package for you. Unlabeled tracks, 4 tracks, 1's AI.
Oh, he's giving you a
Get
test.
Get Richard Die Trying, yep. nigga.
Huh?
Get Richard Die Trying. I've been waiting for that shit.
He giving you the test.
Checking my email.
I had to wait. I was waiting. I was like, I got to let your mind clear.
Oh, I would have never known anyway.
Okay. That's what's up.
I would have never known.
I got it, but I'm going to send that yes. So
you got me listening to every goddamn thing like it's AI at this point.
Nah. Well, again, 4 tracks. 1 is AI. Okay. See if you can pick it. So,
All right.
That's what's up. All right. Thank you for rolling with us. Thank you. Again, you can catch us in the text chain where everybody is at. He's dissing the LL LeBron in there.
Damn, what LeBron do now?
He's trying to sell that liquor.
Yeah. He was dissing the hell out of LeBron in the text chain.
Stereo too. He's trying to sell that liquor.
So So yeah, you can get us, man. Hit us up in the text chain or whatever. And so as always, you know, we're gonna do it because fuck it, that's what we do. Thank you for rolling. Good night.
Watch out. Diddy was selling local.
Shit. One.